Good morning. Today's daf in Nedarim is Tesvav. We are on Yud Aleph Beis. We are now in the second Mishnah of the Perek. Started yesterday, the second Perek in the Masechta. Continued a discussion. From the first Perek, we spoke extensively regarding the formulation of a Neder. How do you make a Neder? So how exactly are you going to be articulating in order to formulate a Neder? And so in this Perek, a continuation of the discussion. And yesterday we spoke a little bit about Hadfasa. So what you could do is you can create a comp. In other words, you want this bread to be usher to you. You're not interested in eating this bread, and you want to make it usher so that really you're not going to eat it. So again, never figured out motivations or why a person wants to make an eder, but he does. He wants to make an eder. So in this parak, notably yesterday's daf, so what we did is that he compared it to a carbon. So it's kikarbon, kikonam. So by comparing it to a carbon, So consequently, now it's that works. That's effective form of making a neder. This is what's called a hadfasa. So we discussed it yesterday in detail. Yesterday we made the very basic point, which is fundamental towards hadfasa, which is that in order to make a comp, you have to do it to a davar hanadur and not a davar haaser. Okay, that's yesterday's daf. If you understood me, then you learned yesterday's daf. And if not, so go back to yesterday's daf. Okay, good. Where we're starting today is the Mishnah. The Mishnah on Yud Aleph Beis. So the Mishnah is very straightforward, but very difficult to understand. Let's read the Mishnah. Konim Shani Yashin. So the Mishnah says that the person wants to make a neder, and he says Konim. Now again, every time you hear the word Konim, so what you should be thinking is that it's twofold. Number one, it's a kinui. In other words, the word Konim is really slang for karban. Again, that goes back to Daf Yud, Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, exactly how the kinui came about. It's another language. It's manufactured language. Either way, the word Konim means I want this to be like a karban. Now, when he says this, what is he referring to? So, Eini B'Sheina, I'm not sleeping. In other words, he doesn't want to sleep. So, therefore, what he does is he makes sleep usher to him like a karban. And so now he has effectively made a neder. Konim Shani Yashin, Shani Medaber, Shani Mahalech. And he's not only doing that with sleep, he's doing it also with talk, with speech, with walking. So finally, the fourth case of the Mishnah, Homer Lisha, Konim Shani Meshamshech, says to his wife that he's not gonna be with her intimately. So in all these cases, Arizeh Belo Yachel Dvaro. So these are all formulations of Nedarim, successful Nedarim. Okay, when we all come back tomorrow, so we're going to be bothered by the basic question. And the truth of the matter is we already know this question because we already cited tomorrow's Mishnah earlier in the Masechta. So the Mishnah that we've gone over numerous times, I think I brought it up on day number one, is that there's a fundamental difference between Neder and Shvuah. Neder, object. Shvuah, action. So you make a Shvuah on an action, right? I'm going to do this. I'm not going to do that. That's a Shvuah. Neder, this will be usher to me. You can't say this is not going to be usher to me. But anyway, this is usher to me. Neder is going on an object and Shvu is going on an action. And so what happened in our Mishnah over here is we are so unbelievably confused because the Mishnah over here says, I'm not going to sleep. I'm making a Neder that I'm not going to sleep. Well, you're making a Neder on an action. Neder doesn't go on an action. Neder goes on a object. So you're already going to figure out how the Gemara is going to get out of this question in the end of today's daf, not the end, but later on this morning. So the Gemara is going to ask this question, meaning we're using neder language that reflects really what seems to be a shvuah. In other words, we're talking about sleeping, talking, walking, intimacy between husband and wife. These are all action points. They're not objects. So how is he formulating a neder? So hold that thought, hold that question. It's an obvious question, which we're going to deal with later. Itmar. So, meanwhile, we're going to start with the Gemara. What the Gemara is going to do is it's going to take us down a Machlokas Amoraim. That is not perfectly related to our Mishnah. I'll even go a step further. It's not related to our Mishnah. It's not related to our Mishnah. However, what we're going to do a little bit later on is that we're going to draw from our Mishnah, and our Mishnah may enlighten us regarding this Machlokas Amoraim. So let's introduce ourselves to a Machlokas Amoraim, Itmar. So Koine Meine B'Sheina HaYomi Misha Lamacher. So he does the following. He makes a neder and he has it linked with a Tanai. Okay, so these are cases that we've discussed time and again throughout Shas, and that is that you tie something with a condition. So that means to say that the only way that the item will take effect is only if you trigger the condition. Okay. So over here, it's a funny It's a funny neder with a funny condition. So what happens is konim eini b'sheinai hayom im isha lamacha. So what he says is as follows, and that is that I'm prohibiting myself today to sleep if I sleep tomorrow. Okay, so let's illustrate this with Monday, Tuesday. Okay, Monday, Tuesday. So Monday now he is bound by neder. Tuesday he now has a condition that will affect his neder. Okay, so I know it's funny, by the way. It's unusual. It's funny. Well, again, I'm not going to try to figure out what's motivating this person to make such a neder. Whatever the motivations are. Okay.
It is tonight.
It is. Well, he's.
So, but it's not the same tonight as the structure as a God's Rosh.
Well, it's confusing over here. Okay, fine. So you're right. You're bothered by the fact that this is not the Mishpatei HaTanayim.
Right.
We're not following the standard rules of Tanayim. Good, right? It's an excellent observation. And the Rishonim are always bothered by. Sometimes the Gemara is really bothered by, and sometimes the Gemara is not bothered by. This is obviously an example where the Gemara it is an important detail, but it's not what the Gemara is really focusing on right now. Okay, so Monday, Tuesday. So Monday, he's saying he's not sleeping, and he's binding himself with a neder that he's not going to sleep on Monday. However, it's tied to a condition. What's the condition? The neder is only going to kick in if he sleeps on Tuesday. Okay. So what I have is. Monday is neder day, Tuesday is tanai day. Okay, now I know that's weird. I'm acknowledging it's a strange structured neder, but just to appreciate and understand, the Gemara obviously has a point to make, so it's going to make its point using what is definitely a strange scenario. Now, under those circumstances, so can he enjoy sleep on Monday? Okay, it's a simple question, meaning. Monday, now he's bound by neder. However, the neder has not taken effect until he actually sleeps on Tuesday. So Monday's neder day and Tuesday's tonight day. And effectively, what the question comes down to is the following. Can he basically, can he gamble? Can he go ahead and sleep on Monday? And he has not yet violated his tonight. If he goes ahead and he takes a nap on Tuesday, so now what he's done is he's now triggered, he's activated his neder, retroactive to Monday, he slept back on Monday, and so now retroactively he'll be in violation of a neder. Can he gamble? That's effectively the Gemara's question. So, so the Gemara is going to have two opinions on this, and I know it's funny, but we're going to be litigating this most of today's daf. So the Gemara says, Al Yishan Hayom, Shem Yishan Lamacha. So Rav Yehuda is not a gambler. Rav Yehuda says, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't sleep today. Meaning, don't sleep on Monday, because what may end up happening is that if you sleep on Monday, again, you haven't violated your neder yet, but then if, in fact, you were to fall asleep on Tuesday, so now retroactively you're violating your neder back on Monday. Good. That sheet is Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says, don't do it. And an explanation is coming in just a moment for Rav Yehuda. And Rav Nachman Amar Yishan Hayom V'lo Chayshin Hashem Yishan L'machar. And Rav Nachman says, no problem. Meaning what? Right now on Monday, you're good. You made a neder, you're not going to sleep. Yeah, but it's tied to a condition. And the condition is now I'm not going to sleep on Tuesday. Okay, so Rav Nachman says, I got a great solution. I'll take a snooze on Monday, and Tuesday I just won't sleep. What's the big deal? So Rav Nachman is and again, I'm saying it to be cute, but like in other words, it's not, I'm not sure if you can go ahead and broaden this machlokas to who's more open to risk, who's less open to risk. But in this particular case, Rav Nachman's ready to risk it. Okay, so he's ready to take the chance of, you know what, you may have violated your neder. Okay, Rav Nachman says, yeah, but I got a great idea, and that is don't fall asleep on Tuesday. Okay, good. Now, Moda Rav Yehuda ba'omer konim eini b'shein lamachar im ishan hayom. Now, let's do it like this. Let's flip it around. Where now Monday is my Tanai day, and Tuesday is my Neder day. So the Gemara says, under those circumstances, where Monday is Tanai day and Tuesday is your Neder day, Rav Yehuda says, there, I got no problem. You want to sleep on Monday? Go for it. You've activated your Tanai by sleeping on Monday? Good. So comes Tuesday, you're not going to go to sleep. In other words, you'll just simply say, good, I don't want to violate my Neder, so I won't go to sleep on Tuesday. So Moda Rav Yehuda ba'omer konim eini b'shein lamachar im ishan hayom shishan hayom. So you can go ahead and sleep today. So kilom is dar b'tanai aval b'yisurim is daher. And here we go with the one line of explanation of Gemara in Tezvav Amid Aleph on the top line. So the Gemara says, and what's behind Rav Yehuda? What's behind Rav Yehuda is the general psychology of when a person makes a neder, he's generally careful about his neder. It makes sense. In other words, he's ossering himself via neder. He's binding himself to an isser through a neder. Obviously, he doesn't want to violate his neder. In fact, if he in fact violates his neder, he's violating the isser of bal yachel dvaro. We've discussed this already numerous times. It is a law in the Torah to violate your own neder. Ah. But if we're just talking about a condition that triggers the neder, it's just a condition. Who cares about conditions? Meaning, if it's just a tanai, people are going to be more lax when it comes to a tanai. Now, mind you, by the way, think about it. In other words, it is still a bit of a chiddush. Meaning, in our first presentation of Monday, Tuesday, where Monday's neder day and Tuesday's tanai day. So, in other words, what'd he do? So, he slept on Monday. And what's Rav Yehuda worried about? Tuesday, it's just a tanai. You know, it's funny. It's just a tanai. It's not just a tanai. It's a tanai where if he goes ahead and he triggers it, so then retroactively he's violated his neder. So it's interesting. It's not just a tanai in of itself. It's a tanai which automatically retroactively would violate his neder. Okay, but still, the point of the Gemara is that according to Rav Yehuda, people are careful about tanai, about nedarim. People are not careful about tanai. Good. And where does Rav Nachman stand on this issue? Rav Nachman says, no, people are careful. People are careful about the neder, people careful about the tanai. They're careful about both. And therefore, according to Rav Nachman, so Monday is neder day and Tuesday is tanai day. So go ahead, take a shluf on Monday. No big deal. Because what are you going to do? You'll be careful on Tuesday. Okay. Good. So this is a machlokus between Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman. And I know it's strange, but the Gemara is going to be litigating it for the whole day, right? On an issue which, you know, I can't imagine a Rav in, you know, has received any type of shiloh even remotely similar to what we're going to be discussing today. But again, it's a chefsa shel Torah. The every line of Gemara, every word of Gemara that we're learning is part and parcel of Torah. So as we're going through the sources back and forth, proofs are going to be a half dozen different rayas or kashas one way or another. So every word that we're going to say is going to be a kiyum of Talmud Torah. So let's go. So let's learn Torah. So now in Konim Shani Yashan, Shani Mahalach, Shani Medaber, V'chulei. So now what are we going to do? We're going to quote our Mishnah. Okay, good. So in other words, like I said, right? What does this have to do with our Mishnah? Seemingly very little, seemingly. And meanwhile, what we're going to do is we're going to go back to our Mishnah. We're going to quote our Mishnah. And so here's what we're going to do. It's a couple steps. We're going to first wrap our heads around our Mishnah. Meaning our Mishnah said something which is difficult to understand. I read the Mishnah. I just said, I didn't even say Pshat in the Mishnah. I just translated the Mishnah. And then we just ran right to the Gemara because I knew what was going to happen today. Meaning we have the machlokas between Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman, which we just presented. And now what we're going to do is we're going to go back to the Mishnah. And now step number one, we're going to just unpackage the Mishnah. What is the Mishnah even talking about? Like what's going on in the Mishnah? And then after that, after we've unpackaged the Mishnah, then we're going to see that it really does seem to support one of the two Amoraim. Okay, so let's go. Number one, Heichidami. So let's unpackage the Mishnah. What's happening in the Mishnah? So the Gemara says, the first question, which I know I foreshadowed already when we learned the Mishnah, and that is, you're making a neder on sleep. Sleep is an action. You can't make a neder on sleep. It simply doesn't work. Nedarim are only on objects. Nedarim are not on actions. Shavuos can go on an action. Shavuos can also go on an object as well. But in other words, but not a neder. So what's going on over there? Ella. So the Amar Konim Eini Bishena. Okay. So step number one is that what we have to do is that we have to just simply alter the understanding of the Mishnah. When the Mishnah says that I'm making a neder on sleep, no, you're not making a neder on sleep. You're making a neder on your eyes. Okay. And I know this is a technicality, right? Right. What we're about to engage in, truth of the matter is we've already done this before. This is not the first time. Not the first time we've done so, but it's a technicality. But okay. The nedarim shavuos, you'll see a lot of technicality. So over here, you're making a neder on your eyes. My eyes are not going to sleep. Okay.
Now,
so Ben's arguing that that's still an action and it's not a, it's not an object. Okay. The Gemara said this already a couple of times. The Gemara definitely feels that this is an object, not an action. I'm not sure how to successfully answer your question. I'm inclined to think like you, but the Gemara certainly feels that this is an object. Good. I know we had it before. It doesn't make... Okay, good. It doesn't make it easier for me to understand. It just simply means that I've said this enough times already where Baruch Hashem, like I'm used to saying it, but then when push comes to shove, he's pushing me. I don't have great answers. Okay, good. So the... Good. So Ela da'amar konim eini b'sheinai. So good. So what I do is I say that my eyes are going to be subject to the neder that it's not going to sleep. My eyes are not going to sleep. Good. So v'idalo yav shiura. So mishav kinle ad avar iser bal yachel. So the Gemara says, okay, now my eyes are not going to sleep. Good. Mazel tov. You made a successful neder. So the Gemara says, no, you know you haven't. In other words, what exactly is happening over here? So you're bound by neder that you're not going to sleep. Okay. Can you go a day without sleep? Maybe. 2 days? Less likely. 3 days? So it's impossible. And, v'hamar Rabbi Yochanan. So this is a statement of Rabbi Yochanan, which quite frankly comes up numerous times throughout Shas. And that is, I'm looking on the side over here to see how many times it comes up. Comes up a bunch. Shavuos, Yevamos, Sukkah. Okay, good. Anyway. So this is a statement that we get to hear numerous times. And that is, Shavuos, Lo Isha, and Shlosh Yamim, Malkin Osov, Yishin La'altar. So, the halacha is that if a person makes a Shavuah, okay, and I know we're talking about Nedarim right now, but we'll jump back over to Nedarim in just a moment. But you make a shvuah and you say, I'm not going to sleep for 3 days. And you write a formal shvuah that you're not going to do so. So here's what's going to happen. And that is, number one, so the Beis Din's going to say, could you step into our office? Good. And Beis Din's going to give him Malkus. Malkus, why? Because what he made is what's called the shvuah shav. So shvuah shav is that when you make an impossible shvuah, a shvuah that simply is not, it just can't be. So the classic example of a shvuah shav is you point to a rock and you say that's wood, and you swear that that's so. That's what's called a shvuah shav. And even though normally, typically speaking, you're not going to get malchus for dibor, so a shvuah shav is going to be notable exception. So you're going to get malchus for a shvuah shav. Over here, you say you're not going to sleep for 3 days and you bind yourself to a shvuah that you're not going to sleep for 3 days. So, okay, that's what's called a shvuah shav. So you're going to get malchus. And not only that, but after the malchus, you're probably going to want a good rest. So good. So you could take a shluf after your malchus. Why? Because it's not a shvuah. It doesn't exist as a shvuah. In other words, it's simply a shvuah shav. Okay. So over here, so when the person says that, look, so we got through the problem of it's not a shvuah, it's a neder. So the Gemara says, okay, so change the language of the Mishnah just a little bit. And that is that you're not making a neder on the sleep, you're making it on your eyes. Okay, good. Technicality. And then the Gemara says, but wait 1 second, but if you don't put a time limit on it, so then it should be a shvuah shav. And then why should you be in violation of your neder when meanwhile it's not a successful neder? Okay, now over here, so did you just see what I did? In other words, we took the concept of shvuah shav and we brought it over to neder. Okay, and I'll ask the question simply, is there such a thing as a neder shav? Okay, it's a funny question. The Gemara steamrolls right over this point. Meaning the Gemara just simply says, well, you know you can't make a shvuah shav, oh, therefore you can't make a neder shav as well. The Gemara didn't say that, but it sounds like from the Gemara that, well, if I can't make a shvuah shav, I can't make a neder shav as well. Is there such a thing as a neder shav?
Perfect.
So is there such a thing as a neder shav? So it's unclear. Meaning, well, I'm going to speak out the Ron in just a moment. I'll show you the Ron inside in just a moment, but it's really unclear. Meaning the pasuk in the Torah is Lo Sisa Hashem Hashem Lishav. Meaning that the Torah is clearly talking about a shvuah. It's not talking about a neder. And the Torah says that you can't make a neder that has absolutely no, I'm sorry. The Torah says you can't make a shvuah that has absolutely no meaning. Right? Pointing to stone and swearing that it's wood. So that's shvuah shav. That's Lo Sisa Hashem Hashem Lishav. So, and that's translatable. It's transferable over to a neder. Again, the Gemara makes it sound like, of course. Look at the Ron on the bottom of the previous Amud. The Ron is offset. The Ron's on this Masechta, right? It's really, by the way, I already made this observation with my Chavrusa. The Ron's are so clear. Meaning you read the Ron's over here in this Masechta. It's clarity. In other words, it's a totally different style than Rashi. Rashi is very abbreviated. Rashi is just looking for Pshat in the Gemara. The Ron is doing more than that. The Ron is saying Shir. He's speaking out Machlokas Rishonim, and even though the Ran himself is a Rishon, but he's a later Rishon, and he's speaking out the Machlokas of earlier Rishonim and Gaonim. But anyway, he's really clear. So over here on the Ran in the previous Amud, he's a little bit offset. It's, in other words, obviously we're right now in Tesvav Amud Aleph, but the Ran on this Gemara is found on the previous Amud, on Yud Amud Beis. And he writes over there, it's the last Ran. Umishav kinale ad da avar yisur ba yachal klomer b'chei agav nemichal nidra klal kevin yeshal lo kama besofa v'naka lishna de mishav kinale mishum debay lasuri ala had rab yochan she b'shvua uv'shvua shay chay lishna klomer de lo shav kinan melahal koso ad de yisur ba yachal ela alter malkin oso mishum shvua shav. So the Ran says that what the Gemara did is the Gemara cited Rav Yochanan, meaning we just did that in the Gemara. We just cited Rav Yochanan. That if you make a shvua, you're not going to sleep for 3 days. So malchus immediately, because you just made a shvua shav, and go ahead and take a nap. And the Ran says, now look, I know we're not talking about shvuas right now. We're talking about nedarim, meaning we're learning masechta nedarim right now. We're saying pshat in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says you make a konam that you're not going to sleep. Now again, so what did we just do? We just adjusted the Mishnah. You're not making a konam, you're not going to sleep. You're making a konam on your eyes. Okay, again, technicality, but still, we're in the world of nedarim. So does the shvua shav apply to a neder? So the Ran says, of course not. V'alfa gav de b'neder lo shaychachi, de neder shav lo asher chanda aser. Because, where do you find that a neder shav is aser? Meaning, is it appropriate? No, not appropriate. But is it aser where you're going to get malchus? No. But mishum shvua nakan hai lishna. So even though it's not iser gamor, the way it is, it would be by a shvua, but still, in other words, it's certainly inappropriate. It's not appropriate neder. So it's very clear from the Ran, says it very clearly, that there's no such thing as a neder shav. There's a shvua shav, but there's no neder shav, a shav. And if you want to go further down this rabbit hole, you saw the Rabbi Kiva Eger over there on the Ran. Rabbi Kiva Eger points to a Tosos and Gittin who disagrees with this point. Anyway, much more to discuss over here. I'm just simply highlighting, if you're following the Gemara well, which hopefully we are, you realize that the Gemara here is not talking about Shavuot, it's talking about Neder, and we know there's such a thing as Shavuot Shav. Is there such a thing as Neder Shav as well? So, open for investigation. The Ran has a very clear position, which is that it's not. Anyway, right, correct. The neder is not going to be correct. Correct. The neder is not going to be chal, but you're not going to be subject to malchus. Right. Very well said. Okay. So where are we? So I'm sorry. Now that I spent all the time with the Ran, I lost my spot. So the Gemara says, "Koneshem Yeshani Mahalach Sheni Medaber V'chule." We read that. V'idalo Yav Shiura. We did that as well. So the Ella. Okay. Okay. Right now, what we're doing is, you're correct, but what we're doing is that we're setting ourselves up so that eventually what we're going to do is that we're going to try to use our Mishnah to show whether Rav Yehuda is right or Rav Nachman's right. Meaning, really, right now, we're in the middle of the discussion of Rav Yehuda, Rav Nachman. Monday, Tuesday, right? Monday was Neder Day, Tuesday was Tanai Day. What's the story? Can you go to sleep on Monday? That's the Machlokas. So what we're now doing is that we're drawing from the Mishnah to see which of these two positions is more defensible. So you're right. In other words, a lot of the points that we just made right now, we made earlier, but in other words, we're not yet at the Gemara's point. So Ella Damar Koinemein B'Shana L'Machim B'Shana Yom. So the Gemara says like this. It can't be an indefinite neder that you're not going to sleep because it simply does, it's not valid. So it's not indefinite. So what must the Mishnah be talking about? Now here the Gemara is making an assumption, right? It's a little bit of a leap. I know what the Mishnah is talking about. It's talking about a case where koneimene b'shena l'machri mishana yom. Okay, so it's talking about a case where Monday, Tuesday, and Monday is Tanai day, and Tuesday is Neder day. So the Gemara immediately on that says ha'amart kol be'isuri mizdaher. So the Gemara says no, that can't be, because as we already just established, if Monday is Tanai day and Tuesday's Neder day, and you slept on Monday, everyone's going to be careful not to sleep on Tuesday. That can't be. So Ella, the Gemara says, Pshita da'amar koneimene b'shana yomi mishalamachar. So, again, we're making a huge assumption, but I know what the Mishnah's talking about. Mishnah's talking about Monday, Tuesday. Monday's your Neder day, and Tuesday is your Tanai day. Ah, that's what the Mishnah is talking about. Again, that's inserting a lot into the Mishnah. I recognize that. I realize that. But you saw how the Gemara got here. Meaning, it can't be an indefinite neder because that doesn't exist. It has to be some sort of finite neder. But what? In other words, we're just talking about stam neder. The Mishnah is not giving us chiddush. We're looking for a chiddush. So therefore, and if we're talking about Monday, Tuesday, where Monday's Tanai and Tuesday's neder, that's not a chiddush. Everyone agrees to that. We're talking about where Monday's a neder and Tuesday's a Tanai. We are saying a lot in the Mishnah, but if we're right, so what does this show us? So v'ilo nayim hayom kinayim lamachar. My bayachad var ika. So the Gemara says, now, what did you do on Monday? So if you didn't sleep on Monday, so then Tuesday, what's the big deal? Go ahead, take a nap. What are you going to do? You're going to trigger your neder? So what? You triggered your neder. You didn't violate your neder because you didn't sleep on Monday. So it must be elalav b'danayim. So it must be that you slept on Monday. So okay, so we're backing ourselves now into the corner where you made your neder and Tanai. Neder was that you're not going to sleep on Monday. Tanai is that the neder is only going to kick in if I sleep on Tuesday. And now you actually slept on Monday. And now the only thing the Mishnah now is telling us is what happens on Tuesday. Elah b'denayim. Ama isa denayim. So the Gemara says that there's an iser now, for you not to sleep on Tuesday. Utu yufta. So the Mishnah is telling us is that you are in fact allowed to sleep on Monday. Meaning the Mishnah is assuming that you slept on Monday. You slept on Monday, and what the Mishnah is telling us is good, and don't sleep on Tuesday. That's what the Mishnah is telling us. Again, if you gave me a really long period of time to see all this in the Mishnah without the Gemara going through the steps, you know, I don't know if it's four or five steps that we just went through right now, it'd be very hard. You'd be hard-pressed to see any of this in the Mishnah. But, again, because of all the complications and because of all the difficulties of just reading simple pshat in the Mishnah, so therefore we're backed into this case. Uti yufta de Rav Yehuda. Now, if all this is right, so then this stands as a question against Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara says no. Ki ketani de'inayim. So the Gemara says no. What the Mishnah is telling us is that the Mishnah is not teaching us. Meaning, let's assume everything we said is right. The Mishnah is not telling us is that you can sleep on Monday. The Mishnah is telling us, what if I slept on Monday? That's what the Mishnah is telling me. Then under those circumstances, so what you're going to do now is that you're going to ensure not to sleep on Tuesday. But even according to the Mishnah, if the question was asked, should you be sleeping on Monday? The answer would be no. You shouldn't. Why? Because you may trigger the neder tomorrow on Tuesday. Okay. Ravina Amar. So what we have just done now, that was a long walk. That was a really long walk. So what we tried to do is we tried to use our Mishnah and give an ukimta in the Mishnah, and then the Mishnah would be difficult for Rav Yehuda and would be a proof for Rav Nachman, and the Gemara said not necessarily. Good. That was just a one-sentence summation of everything we just did. Then the Gemara says, I'll tell you what. You know what we can do? We can go back to our Mishnah, and we could just simply give an entirely different shot in the Mishnah. Notably, Ravina Amar La'olam Kediktani. What you could do is you could just go back to the Mishnah. Just say a simple pshat in the Mishnah. Now, I know it's hard to, but let's try it. What Ravina is basically saying is as follows. Don't convert the Shvuah to a neder and try to figure out exactly what the neder is like we just did. But you know what? The Mishnah is exactly as it's read. The Mishnah says, Konim Mishena. Right? I'm making a neder, then I'm not going to sleep. What was your question? Your question was, that's not a neder. Right, the neder is on an object, not an action. So the Gemara says, the Ravina will tell you, my bayachel midrabanan. Oh. So what the Mishnah is teaching us is the following. You are totally confused. You don't know the difference between a neder and a shvuah. Okay, good. I get it. But you know what, however? In other words, if somebody comes over to you on a technicality and says, oh, you know, you didn't make a neder. Neders don't go on actions. Neder only goes on objects. So then what people are going to do, people are going to just simply not be sensitive enough to these differences and distinctions. It's not the hardest distinction to make, but still, people are not going to be sensitive enough. People are going to treat all this way too lightly. And so therefore, people are going to then make statements and not uphold statements that they made, either be a neder or a shvuah. So what the Chachamim said is, even though your formulation is technically not a good formulation, but you know what? You're bound. You're going to be bound by your neder. Neder doesn't go in an action. Ravina says, I get it. I know. But if if we don't train people to be sensitive to senses that they make, you know, commitments that they make, so then they're not going to be sensitive even when they make a real commitment. So therefore, midrabanan, they're going to be bound by their neder. That's a nice and easy way to understand the Mishnah. If that's the whole point of the Mishnah, obviously it doesn't at all deal with the discussion of Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman. The Gemara says, we have such an institution. There's a concept of that. The Gemara says, sure, in. Yeah, absolutely. I'll give you an example of Bal Yachel Midrabanan. And that is the person who wants to take upon himself a minug. Okay. Right, this is actually a really sensitive topic, but minhagim. Okay. What are good minhagim? What are bad minhagim? What are minhagim that we should keep? What are minhagim that we shouldn't keep? Good. That's a really large topic. All we're here just simply to point out is that if a person is no hague a certain way, he knows that he didn't need to be machmir in a particular area, but he wants to be. And what other people should do is respect his minhag. Respect his minhag. Now again, it opens the door to a really larger interpretation of it could be any minhag. It's not necessarily the case. Okay, I understand. The Gemara here has to be handled a little bit better, but for our purposes right now, all we're just simply pointing out is that if somebody goes ahead and belittles the minhag, or if he himself belittles the minhag, so you're in violation of Bal Yachal. Okay? Really? Meaning, an Isser Daraisa Bal Yachal? Of course not. In other words, this is Bal Yachal Midrabanan. Okay. Tanan. We are going to try again. Again, let's set ourselves up. We're talking about Monday, Tuesday. Monday's a neder day. Tuesday's a condition day. He says that if he goes ahead and first he says that he's committing himself via neder not to sleep on Monday, but he connects it to a condition, and that's only if I don't sleep on Tuesday. Question, can he sleep on Monday? And then just be careful on Tuesday. Rav Yehuda says no gambling, no risk-taking, and Rav Nachman says go for it. Sleep on Monday and just make sure not to sleep on Tuesday. And now, which one of these positions is more defensible? So tonight, what we have is a Mishnah. At netnis liad a Pesach im telch lebeis avich ad a chag. Okay, so where are we right now? We are right now currently immediately after Sukkos. I don't mean us, although we're not so far off after Sukkos. But in other words, this couple, this husband and wife right now, find themselves after Sukkos. And whatever, right? Domestic turbulence, if you will. And what he says to her is as follows. He says, "Look, at nenesli ad Pesach, you are not going to get hana from me up until Pesach." And what he does is that he attaches a condition to the neder. Okay. Now, again, by the way, it gets a little bit difficult because, in other words, he has to take care of her and he's responsible to take care of her. And what exactly is he prohibiting to her? In other words, especially considering that he's the husband and he needs to provide for her. Okay, so I understand that there are tricky parts to this, but we're just going to deal with this in the more abstract. He makes a neder. You're not going to get benefit from me. Now, you're not going to get benefit from me up until Pesach. So it's a six-month neder. Sure, why not? And then, im telch lebeis avich ad achag. But however, the neder will only be triggered if you go to your parents' house anywhere between now and next year, next Sukkos. Okay, so the neder itself is for 6 months. The condition is for a full year. Okay, perfect. Now, halcha lifnei achag asur ben asur ad pesach. So, I'm sorry, halcha lifnei a pesach. Sorry, right. So if she goes before Pesach, so asur ben ad a pesach. So now she'll be Asur Bahana. So Halcha Lifnei HaPesach Asura. Lo Halcha Lo. So over here, so what did we just learn together? If she in fact triggers it. But if she doesn't go, so Lo Halcha Lo. So she's not going to, there won't be any problem. Meaning that over here, the Tanai exists after the Neder. And meanwhile, go ahead, get Hana. And what you'll do? And you'll just simply be careful later on. And if this is in fact the correct understanding, So what do we have over here? We have a proof towards Rav Nachman. So Amar Rabbi Abba, halcha lifnei Pesach, asura loke lo halcha asura ba'ama. So the Gemara says, okay, no, not necessarily. Here's what we can say. What we can say is as follows, is that really the truth of the matter is that she shouldn't get hana. But if she got hana from her husband, and then she went, she's going to be subject to malchus. And if she doesn't go, then she won't be subject to malchus. But in terms of whether or not she should or should not be getting hana from her husband, she should not be getting hana from her husband. That's a way to understand the brisa, and then we would be able to defend Rav Yehuda. Ema Seifa, the Gemara says, okay, but let's just read on in the brisa. Right, that brisa goes on to say, Achra Pesach, Beval Yachal Dvaro. So if she goes to her father's house, if she goes to her parents' house, she'll be in violation of Bal Yachal. V'idol Isani Lifnei Pesach Mika Bal Yachal Lepshita Disani. Now over here, over there, she triggered the condition. Now she's in violation of Bal Yachal, which means what? Obviously she got Hana. So Ama Mitane. So that means to say that prior to her triggering of the condition, is she allowed to get Hana? Yes. Meaning the only thing the mission was telling us is that if in fact she went after Pesach to her parents' home, now that she triggered the neder, so now she's in violation, which means that up until the point of that, she can in fact get Hana. Once again, this proves Rav Yehuda. So, I'm sorry, it proves Rav Nachman. It's a difficulty on Rav Yehuda, top of the next Amud. Uti yufta de Rav Yehuda. And that's obviously going to be difficult for Rav Yehuda. Kikitani, di isani, hariza beval yachal dvaro. So the Gemara says, no. The proper way to understand the Mishnah is e ishani, if she in fact gets benefit. But in other words, but if she went over to Rav and said, should I be able to get benefit from my husband from Sukkot to Pesach? The answer will be no, don't do it. Meaning that could be the understanding of the Mishnah. If in fact that's so, we've defended Rav Yehuda. Okay, Tanan. We're almost finished now. I understand it's a long litigation of this case. Okay, Tanan, okay, so where are we right now? Again, we find ourselves immediately after Sukkot, and now what he says to her is as follows. It's basically the same as the previous case, but the dates have changed over here, where he wants an Isser Hana from his wife for a full year. Okay, it's a long time. Okay, whatever. So, Arachag. So, Im Telch LeBeis Avicha Ara Pesach. Now, the condition that will trigger the neder is only going to be for a half a year. Okay, so for whatever reason, again, I don't understand the motivations over here. We don't need to. He's telling her, don't go to your parents' house now for half a year, from now till Pesach. And if you did, so that'll trigger the neder. And when's the actual neder, the duration of the neder? From Sukkot to Sukkot, a full year. But the trigger is only for half of that time. So, lifnei halcha lifnei Pesach asur ben adachag. So now, if she goes before Pesach, so now that triggered the neder. The neder now is going to be effective for the full year. However, here's what she can do after Pesach. So what she can do now, she can go to her parents' home because the trigger was only for half a year. So halcha asura, lo halcha lo. So if she goes, asur. But if she doesn't go, so then it would be fine. So the what she's allowed to do is totally get benefit. If she goes, that's fine. But in other words, but don't worry about that. Meaning you can get hana, and you'll just simply be careful not to violate the condition. This sounds like Rav Nachman. Sounds like we can gamble a little bit. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Huda den dafil lo halcha asura, halcha asura veloke, lo halcha asura ba'alma." So the Gemara says, "No, don't gamble." Meaning we're defending Rav Yehuda again. The truth of the matter is that it shouldn't gamble. She shouldn't go and trigger the neder. And the only thing that the Bryce is telling us is that if she went and she violated her neder, she's subject to malchus. Okay. What? Okay, fine. So over here now, we have a brisa. Now the brisa is very similar to our discussion. Okay, in other words, at least here in the brisa, it's pretty much the same. Where we have neder condition and kikar zu alayom. So in other words, so he's not going to eat this loaf of bread today, and Im elech l'makom plon l'machar. So here the trigger is, if I go to a certain place tomorrow. So again, it's Monday, Tuesday. Monday's neder, Tuesday's tanai. And now, achal harei ze b'val yelech. So if he goes there and eats it, he's in violation of b'al yelech. So now what he can't do is that he can't now, once he eats the bread, so he may be in violation of the neder, but that's of course only if he triggers it tomorrow. So I'll tell you what to do tomorrow. Perfect. Right. So tomorrow, best practice would be, don't go. So miketani, ochel, achal ketani, dechi achal zeb b'al yelech. Now, what is the Bryce is saying regarding Monday? Can he eat the bread or can he not eat the bread? So what we're doing is that we're making a grammar point. And that is achal. Achal means if he ate it, which means that's only b'di'evit. What should be lechatchila? What's ideal? What's ideal is don't eat it. So the Gemara says that, and if that's true, so finally we have what seems to be a proof for Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara says, halach, harei ze b'bal yachal dvaro. So what we're doing now is we're just reading on in the Braisa. So if he goes the next day on Tuesday, so now what he did is he triggered his neder, he violated his neder. So mahalech lo, v'kashu l'Rav Yehuda. So and now over here, what are we litigating? Tuesday. Meaning if he went on Tuesday, which means what regarding Monday? Enjoy the bread on Monday. So the Gemara says, not necessarily. Amalecha Rav Yehuda wadin delis ne mahalech. So I did diktani resha achal, delo misne le ochel, so tini asefa halach. So the Gemara says, okay, so the only reason why the word halach was used is because in the resha, so we use past tense. Over in the sefer, we use past tense as well. Okay. Ha'omer le'isha adkan. Okay. That was the most of today's daf. We're going to finish up today's daf. We have a couple more minutes to go. But in the meantime, however, what could just come out is that, just a quick summary. So what we discussed for most of today is Monday, Tuesday, where Monday you make a neder, but you tie it to condition on Tuesday. So the question now becomes, on Monday, can I enjoy and just simply not trigger the neder on the next day on Tuesday? So basically the question becomes, is a person going to be careful about not the neder per se, but the tanai that triggers the neder retroactively? Rav Yehuda says we're concerned. Rav Nachman says we're not concerned. And what we've just spent most of today's daf doing is seeing whether or not Rav Yehuda's position is more defensible or Rav Nachman. Gemara ends off in a stalemate. Ha'omer li'isha konim shani misham shech hari zeb b'bal yachal dvaro. Okay, so we go back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah had four different action points. I'm not going to sleep. I'm not going to talk. I'm not going to walk. And the person says he's not going to have tashmish shemitah together with his wife. So the Gemara says, okay. Now, hopefully this Gemara should ring familiar, because we did this back in Ksuvos, and we get to do it here again in the Darim. So we know that a husband has obligations towards his wife. Shibudim. So it's not just a mitzvah, it's an obligation. Husband has to be with his wife. So that's part of the shibud, that he has to provide for her. And that's a din d'oraisa. So over here, what is he doing? He's making a neder on a din d'oraisa, on a shibud. So over here, it's a mitzvah d'oraisa that he has to provide for a tashmish shemitah. And how can the neder, meaning, again, the question of whether it's an action or a neder, regardless, meaning how does it even work? He's obligated to do so in a Torah. Answers the Gemara, ba'omer hanas tashmishech alai, v'ha lo kanicha le v'sashmish. So here, once again, technicality, and that's the following. Remember, nedarim can go in one of two ways. A neder, I could say, is that, again, we're right now assuming that he's formulating it in the way of a neder, not a shvua. Okay. Now, nedarim can go in one of two ways. A neder could be that an item of mine is going to be usher to you. Alternatively, an item of yours is going to be usher to me. Now, he's obligated to be mishamsher. He has to be intimate with her. That's an obligation in the Torah that a husband has to be with his wife. Fine. If, in fact, the neder is formulated where he says that I'm making you usher to me, he can't do that. In other words, that would be a violation of the mitzvah d'oraisa of Tashmish Shemita, that the husband has towards his wife. And he can't do that. And there's a, you want to talk about a run that could take us well beyond today, right, well beyond this morning. The run over here has many, many questions to ask, including the fact that generally speaking, we do find that a konam can break a shibud, but notwithstanding, okay, let's just deal with the simple pshat of the Gemara right now. So, and another way a neder could be formulated is that something of mine is going to be usher to you. You can make such a formulation. So over here, according to Rav Kahana, if he tries to make the neder where he says that I'm making you usher to me, he can't do that. In other words, because he has a mitzvah, a shibud d'oraisa, to be mishamisher. On the other hand, if he says I'm making you a neder upon me, meaning I'm not going to benefit from you, that's not a violation of his shibud d'oraisa. In other words, because over here, the iser is on him. And now that the iser is on him, so what are you going to do? You're going to feed somebody iser? In other words, right, it's now that the formula of the neder in a way in which he's making her usher to him, it would be tantamount to giving him non-kosher food. And you can't do that. You can't provide for him non-kosher food. It's true that he has a shibud to have relations with her. That part is true. But in doing so, you're going to be providing for him iser. And you can't do that. So in other words, so as a technicality, there is a way for a husband to formulate the neder, where, despite the fact that it's a shibud to her, but the neder would still be chal. Okay, it's a technicality. But it works. In other words, it simply works. Okay, I encourage you, by the way, and we're going to stop over here. Go through that last run right over here before the Mishnah, where he picks up a lot of interesting topics regarding this idea that a husband can successfully make a neder not to be mishamish his wife. See the run over there. Okay, two big issues that came up today. Number one, when a person makes a neder and a tanai on Monday and Tuesday, neder is on Monday and Tuesday is a tanai, what becomes of such a neder? Can he be blasé on Monday only to be careful then on Tuesday? It's a machlokes amarayim between Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman. Rav Yehuda says that he cannot be blasé on Monday because we're worried that he's just simply not going to be careful about us tonight on Tuesday. So therefore, he needs to be careful on Monday. Rav Nachman says, not concerned, not worried. Go ahead, be blasé on Monday. Tuesday, what do you know what you're going to do on Tuesday? You'll be careful. Good. And what we spent most of our day doing is, which of these positions seems to be more defensible? And then the last thing that we did today is that last case in the Mishnah. There are four cases in the Mishnah that we opened up our daf today with. And the last case in the Mishnah is that the husband makes a neder, then he's not going to be with his wife. There's a shiba d'oraisa. Husband has to be with his wife. So the Gemara says, okay, I know, but there is a way to formulate the neder in such that he will then be prohibited to be with his wife. I'd come.